It's something the Lord's been laying on my heart for some time now, though it's something that I've sort of struggled with because it is directed particularly to men. But I pray that you will receive it in the heart in which it is delivered as your spiritual leader, your pastor, your shepherd, and one who cares dearly for your soul and wants to see the fullness of God's will and destiny realized in your life. This morning's message is entitled Wounded Warriors, Wounded Warriors. And I was reading a story about a woman who found a bottle on a beach. She opened it up and out popped a genie, and he promised to grant one wish. Well, the woman thought for a moment and then immediately said, "I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of flying and I get seasick. So, Mr. Genie, I wish for a bridge to Hawaii." The genie looked at her and said, "Lady, do you realize what a complicated engineering feat that would be needed in order to accomplish such a project?" The woman stopped for a moment and said, "Okay, then how about helping me to understand my husband?" The genie thought, scratched his head and said, "Would you like the bridge to be 2 lanes or 4? We're going to undertake a very challenging task in this new series, The Making of a Man. Ladies, don't tune me out, because this is to help you as well. It will help you to understand your husband. It will help you to understand your sons. It will help you to understand all the men that you interact with on a daily basis at work, at church, etc. And guys, I encourage you to tune in, because I believe that this message and this series is a critical message for the day and hour in which we live, especially as we see what is occurring in our society. You know, there's an old adage that says, as the family goes, so goes the nation. And with the divorce rate above 50%, the majority of children today are growing up in homes with little to no involvement of fathers. And the effects upon their lives, the ramifications are far-reaching and very complex, how that affects the child, the lives and the psyche of children. Studies have shown that it often results in increased dropout rates from school, which will result in increased levels of poverty as well. And it also results in higher involvement in crime, sexual promiscuity, homosexuality, and inability to keep a job, to maintain healthy relationships, and the list goes on and on and on. And studies reveal that the leading factor in the disintegration of families today relates to husbands and fathers not fulfilling their roles within the family. And the problem is this: they cannot give what they have not had. They cannot give what they have not had. One Christian leader states that the greatest opportunity and challenge facing the church in the 21st century is the development of godly husbands and godly fathers, the development of godly men. That's the greatest challenge and the greatest opportunity facing the church. I read an article by a counselor named Alexander Mitserlich, and he argues this. He says, "Society has torn the soul of the male, and into this tear, demons have fled. The demons of insecurity, the demons of selfishness, the demons of despair. Consequently," he said, "men do not know who they are as men. Rather, they define themselves by what they do, their occupation, who they know, their connections, or what they own, their possessions." You know, as believers, we are in a spiritual war. And we are fighting for our souls, for our families, for the institution of marriage, for sexual purity, not just among teens, but among adults as well. We're in a fight for the spiritual and emotional health of an entire generation. We're in a fight for the morals and values of the kingdom of God and the effective witness of Christ in the world today. But it's difficult to win a fight when the strongest among us, our men, have been wounded to such a degree that many have given up the will to fight and have retreated from the front lines of battle. Today, I want us to consider the common wounds of the male soul in our culture, because these pains must be addressed in order for men to re-engage in the battle once again and to become the men of God that they have been called by God to be. Now, ladies, I want you to listen up, because many of the same wounds that impact men also impact you. Now, how they manifest may be different, but the same wounds affect you. In fact, most every one of us here, male, female, young, old, has some kind of soul pain that can be traced to their relationship with their father. We even see this in Scripture. And we see it in the example of one named Timothy in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says this, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Timothy was a young man. He was a pastor. He was a protege of Paul. In fact, Paul called him his son in the faith. But if you read the scriptural record carefully, you will find that there is virtually no reference to Timothy's father other than a passing note that Timothy's father was a Greek or an unbeliever. But it appears as though that Timothy's father had little to no engagement in his life. The primary influencers in Timothy's life were his grandmother and his mother. And thank God for praying grandmothers. Thank God for spiritual mothers who bring their children to church and who try to bring their children up in the way of the Lord. But Timothy was especially blessed, because Timothy had a surrogate father, if you will, a spiritual father named Paul, who helped to shape Timothy into the man of God that he became. Not only a man of faith, but a man who was then later able to go on and shape other men to become men of God. And that's God's will and desire for every man, for every young man, for every boy here today, that you would become the man of God that he has willed and intended for you to be, and so that you can influence the lives of others so that they may also become godly men. Because of the fact that Timothy had a spiritual father in the body of Christ, he was able to overcome his father wounds and become a powerful agent of God's kingdom. Today we want to look at these father wounds or these father injuries so that we can identify where they come from and know how to overcome them. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is the source of father wounds. The source of father wounds. And the first source is the wounds of an absentee father, which we've kind of touched on so far. Many fathers today, due to the divorce rate, due to children being born out of wedlock, many fathers today are not present in their children's lives. And that's what's so harmful about having children outside of marriage. It almost guarantees an unfathered generation. And what we have today, for the most part, is an unfathered generation. But wounds are not only caused by a father who is physically absent. There are also wounds from an apathetic father, an indifferent father, an emotionally absent father, where his goals and his interests are more important than his family and his children. Dr. James Dobson says the average middle-class father spends less than 35 seconds a day with his small children. That wasn't 35 minutes, 35 seconds a day with his small children. Fathers who are physically or emotionally absent create young men who are confused about who they are and what their role is supposed to be. They know they're men because physically they have a male anatomy, but they don't know how to direct all of that male energy, all of that testosterone that's running through their blood. They don't know what to do with it in a healthy way. So they often try to prove their manhood in unhealthy and toxic ways, like through sexual conquest or through aggression, through toxic ways that are destructive to themselves and destructive to others. And then there's the wounds of an authoritarian father. This comes from fathers who have to control and dictate everything in their home. So they, in effect, punish the uniqueness of their children. They control not only their daily life, but they try to control their children's lives and decisions, what career they choose, what college they go to, who they marry. And this ends up creating young men and women who have an inordinate desire to please a father that they probably will never be able to please. They live their whole life trying to gain the approval of their father, never feeling like they measure up, never feeling like they're enough. For men, they never feel like they are man enough. So it results in insecurity and a sense of failure. That is why so many men today struggle with insecurity, and it causes problems in their marriage. It causes problems with their children. I mean, to where some men, they even get jealous of their children, the attention the wife is paying towards their children, out of insecurity. And insecurity has ramifications on the job as well. It has ramifications as if you want to rise to leadership, because as a leader, if you're insecure, you're not going to let anybody around you that has potential rise up. You're going to keep them down because you feel threatened by them. So those leaders around you should actually lift your level of success, but because you keep them down, that keeps you down. See? So insecurity has such a myriad of effects on our lives. And there are so many men today, even right here in our midst, struggling with insecurity. And sometimes that insecurity makes them extremely sensitive to the influence of men, particularly older men and men in authority, so that they spend their whole lives in conflict. Because everything is like a competition. So they spend their whole life in conflict. And what they're really doing is they're shadow boxing with a father who's not even there. But they're fighting against that. And then there's the wounds of an abusive father, which is perhaps the one that has the most tragic of consequences. Some fathers are verbally abusive. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, words have the power of life and death. Words can kill a child's spirit and can set them up for a lifetime of self-doubt, failure, and struggle. But silence can also be abusive. If fathers don't speak words of encouragement and affirmation, that is also injurious to a child's spirit. If you don't talk about issues of importance to your children, issues that matter to your children, issues that are of significance, that is also injurious. Do you know that many men don't know how to communicate? Because they've never seen another man, as they grew up, talk about things that matter. And so they become an adult. They engage in a relationship with a woman. And women are natural communicators. Like to talk about deep things. Like to talk about feelings. And then all of a sudden it causes a problem in marriage. Because the man does not know how to communicate about those matters. They've never seen a man talk about anything other than women, weather, and sports. So they relate at a surface level, and they engage in shallow pursuits. And if a man does happen to come along who wants to talk about deep things, who is in touch with his emotions, they think he's weird. If someone comes along who has a true heart for God, a heart for ministry, a passion for the things of God, they think he's a fanatic. And then there's fathers who are physically and sexually abusive. And they leave deep scars that keep their children in bondage their whole life if that child does not eventually receive healing from God. Abusive fathers create young men who have a profound distrust of men and even a fear of men. So much so that they don't even really like relating to men. Talk to any woman, and I can almost assure you, she will tell you, I have a best friend, I have a circle of close friends. Ask many men, and they cannot even name one man that is a friend, much less a best friend. Comes from a father injury because they did not learn how to relate at a deep level with another male as they grew up in their home. A father injury. They fear that male connection. They fear that controlling influence. They fear that abusive impact. So those are the sources of father injuries or father wounds. Let's look at some of the symptoms of father wounds, some of the effects that these father wounds have. You know, Timothy was affected by his father wound. If you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, you see how Timothy struggled with fear. He struggled with insecurity. He struggled with intimidation. He struggled with self-doubt. That's why Paul had to say things to him like, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound man. Where he had to say to him, do not be ashamed of your youth, but do this and do that. And he had to encourage him. He had to constantly affirm Timothy because of the father wounds that were in his soul. So we want to identify some of the symptoms, some of the indicators that men may be struggling with a father wound. One of them we mentioned already, a distrust of men. A lack of or inability to have a meaningful, close, healthy relationship with other men. A close, intimate relationship like the scripture describes between Jonathan and David. Jonathan and David were best friends. They were like brothers. Most men today do not have even one relationship that they would consider a close or a best friend. Now, you see, naturally, women seek out relationship. And you can see it when you announce a social event for women. It is jam-packed. It's generally not like that with guys. Now, if you announce a work day for men, they'll show up. Because they can do something, hammer a nail, paint a wall, and not have to talk to anybody. But tell them, we're having a social gathering this Friday night. And you're sitting there. You know, and a lot of that is because of that father wound. Men just do not have that capacity because of that father wound to connect and communicate at a deeper level. And then a second symptom, distrust of and refusal to submit to authority. This is one of the greatest challenges of our nation right now, and it has to do with father wounds. A father is supposed to teach a young man that authority is a good thing, that authority protects, that authority guides. A father even reinforces the authority of a mother, or ought to. But a lot of young teen men being raised by single mothers, if they have a distorted male image due to a lack of a father, they begin to think they don't have to listen to mom. They're a man. They're 14 years old, can't even shave yet, but they're a man. And they begin to lose respect for authority. And today we have a whole generation of young people who have lost respect for authority because of a father injury. And so they won't listen to their boss. So they can't keep a job. You've seen vestiges of this in some of the scandals surrounding the military in Iraq and Afghanistan. Soldiers exhibiting a lack of respect and submission to authority, committing all sorts of heinous behavior that has brought the military into disrepute and the nation as a whole. It has brought reproach on the world scene. And it's replete throughout our culture, and it's connected to father injury. Father injury results in a rejection of authority, a lack of respect for authority. And that is something our generation suffers from today. Another symptom of father injury is role confusion. An inability to connect with men, as we've noted. A preference for female relationships. And that's a father wound. There's some men, they have no male relationship. If they're the only person they can connect with is a woman. They don't know how to connect with a man. And most of the time what's driving them to connect with a woman is not a desire to communicate. At least not verbally. Hallelujah. And then there are others that are so confused about their role that they identify more with females. And they have a whole circle of females, but they're going through a type of gender confusion. And a lot of it is due to that male injury. men struggling with insecurity, self-doubt, anger, mistrust of males and authority. So they don't want to be around other males because they don't feel like they measure up. They're insecure. So they're more comfortable being around females because then there's no competition that's there. Father wounds are a source of gender identity confusion because the sexual identity of a young man is primarily shaped by his relationship with his father. And then another symptom is an inordinate need for respect and affirmation. One of the primary needs of men naturally is respect. But when there is a father injury, there is an inordinate need for respect and for affirmation, for somebody to tell him that he is worthwhile, because he does not feel that way. And so they become oversensitive to anything that they would consider disrespect. You look at them the wrong way and they say, "You disrespected me?" We've seen kids shoot other kids because they said, "You disrespected me." We see a lot of strife in marriages because a man will say, "She disrespected me." Because there's this inordinate need to be made to feel as though he is something, that he is important, that he is worthwhile, because he never got that affirmation from his father. And so the ego is broken and needs a lot of stroking for him to feel good about himself. Now, the other person probably has no idea that he's feeling disrespected because they didn't do anything. But he's there sulking. I'm not respected. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that from a guy, we would be in our new building. Hallelujah. Not because they're saying it to me, but they're saying it about their marriage, or they're saying it about, you know, some situation. Another symptom, lack of confidence and self-worth. Lack of confidence and self-worth. I just wanted to make that clear that it wasn't that they were saying it to me. Just want to make that clear so you don't got a hair. Lack of confidence and self-worth. We were talking about that earlier. Research indicates that confidence is usually passed down from a father to a son. And there's something about a father saying to a son, "You can do it." That's not the same as a mother saying to a son, "You can do it." That confidence is passed down to the son. And he feels, "I am worthwhile, I am capable, I have what it takes." And that's what a father is supposed to do for a son. And many men today never had that done for them. And they cannot give what they do not have. Another symptom is a lack of self-discipline. This is an undisciplined generation. I mean, statistics show you've got 26 and 28-year-old men living at home with their parents playing video games all day long. Not going to college. Not getting a job. Having no goals. Having no ambitions. Why? Because they're undisciplined. A lot of men, they even get married, they can't hold down a job. The wife is the one having to work because the man can't hold down a job. Now, for those of you not yet married, let me give you a little word. If he's not something today, he's not going to be something tomorrow after you've walked down the aisle. Hallelujah. Have some respect for yourself, ladies. And if he can't take care of himself, hallelujah, he can't take care of you, much less children if you were to have them. This is an undisciplined generation. When a mother tells a young man to do something, he says, "Whatever." And he does what he wants to do because he thinks, "I'm a man and I don't have to do what mom says." But when a father says something, or when a father backs up a mother's authority and says, "Son, respect your mother," it creates discipline. And it changes what happens in a young man's life. It changes what happens in that young man's psyche. It changes that young man's future. because it teaches him discipline. The story of a man named Ronald, and he just didn't like bosses. He felt they were manipulating, trying to get what they wanted out of him. There wasn't anything wrong with what they were asking, but something in his soul just didn't like being told. And after losing his job 3 times, his wife said, "I don't plan to stay married to a man that can't keep a job." And when she said that, man, it cut deeply. And it motivated him to do something that he would not have otherwise done. He spoke to another man. And he said to this friend, he said, his friend said to him, he said, "Do you think some of the challenges that you're having at work may be connected to your relationship with your father?" Because this friend knew something of his past. And his father had been abusive. His father had been controlling. And he had spent his childhood living in fear of his father. And much of his adulthood he spent trying to avoid any contact with his father. So when a boss told him to do something, it was the same controlling, abusive voice of his father speaking to him. And he was shadow boxing with a man that was not even present in the room. And he couldn't keep a job as a result. And this is the danger of a father wound. It was undermining his marriage. It was undermining his family. It was undermining his career. It was undermining his financial stability. It was undermining his ability to parent. And ultimately, it would destroy his entire life if he didn't change, because his wife was going to leave with the children. Let me tell you, the father wound does not stay in just one area of a man's life. It affects every area. And it is one of the most toxic and deepest wounds of the soul. And what is so challenging is that most of us, male and female, have some form of father injury. There are only a few healthy people in our society, a few people who have found healing through God. So those of us who have found healing in God, and that doesn't mean we're perfect or that we have arrived, but because we have found healing, we have to do more than just take care of our own children and our own family. But as a church, we have to reach out to kids that are coming up, particularly boys. We have to reach out beyond what we are doing. Paul became a surrogate father, a spiritual father for Timothy. And there needs to rise up in our midst some that will become spiritual fathers. But again, we cannot give what we do not have. And if we ourselves have not experienced healing in God, we will not be able to communicate that to others. We have to reach out in healing to adults that have father wounds. When Paul reached out to Timothy, Timothy was already an adult, a young man. And we need to minister healing to adults who have father wounds in their soul that they have carried with them for decades, and allow the grace of God to minister healing and restoration to their soul. And I just want to deal, there are more steps than this, but just to boil it down to 2 basic steps, the steps to heal from father wounds. The very first one is you've got to release the wound. You've got to release your father. You may never, he may already have passed on, but even if he's alive, you may never have the relationship with your father that you would have desired to have. But you've got to have the grace of God to let go of that. To let go of the need to punish him and hold him accountable. You can't. Only God can hold him accountable. And so you've got to release your father and say, "God, whatever he was or he was not, he is in your hands." A primary aspect of unforgiveness is holding on to the need to punish someone. And whatever you cannot forgive, whatever you cannot forgive is impacting your life profoundly. Whatever you cannot forgive is keeping your life in bondage. Unforgiveness is toxic to you. Someone has said unforgiveness is like drinking poison expecting somebody else to die. it's toxic to you. You have to release your father. That's what the word forgive means. It means to release. Now, it doesn't mean that you're releasing them from accountability, because they're accountable to God. God says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. He will judge. What you're doing is you are releasing them and saying, I'm not your judge. What you're doing is you're releasing the offense and saying, I will no longer allow you to have power over my life. Because as long as you hold unforgiveness, you are chained to your past and you cannot move forward in the future. Now, if possible, I would encourage you to go and talk to your father if he's still alive. But do so with realistic expectations. The Bible tells us that we need, when someone has hurt us, we need to go and talk to them. But don't go there expecting him to fall on his knees and beg you for forgiveness. Because if God has not gotten a hold of his heart, it is unlikely that that will be the response. You may even encounter anger. But you will have freed yourself by being able to express your hurt. So you need to go there with a realistic expectation. You need to go there prayed up so that no matter what their response is, it's all right with you. It's all right because God's grace is covering your heart. Now, some of you, when you go, you may find that your father has softened with age, because age has a tendency to do that. But not all. Some may be disappointed because some people become harder and embittered with age. So go with realistic expectation. But most of the time, your father will probably want the same thing you want. He just doesn't know how to come to you. He knows there's a breach in the relationship. And as a Christian, you need to be the bigger person. Many suffer from the father wound of never having been told by their dad that they love you. So you know what? You start saying it whether they receive it, whether they respond or not. You just tell them, I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad. And somebody has to take the first step. And if you're saved, then you take the first step. Now, I understand if sexual abuse, particularly and physical abuse, were involved, then the situation is a lot deeper and it's a lot more complex. And there's a process of healing that you may need to go through before you can even come to that step. But I encourage you to seek out help to walk through that process of healing so that you can be free from the wounds of your past. So you have to release your father. And secondly, men, and I address this to men, not women, you need to relate to other men. For men, healing comes through connection with other men. There are parts of your soul that will only be healed by being in relationship with men who will encourage, who will affirm, who will see something special in you, and they will affirm that in you, and that will make up the affirmation that you once lacked. And you can only get that if you begin to intentionally engage in relationship with other men. Men who will say, you know what, I've got the same story. My dad was an alcoholic, or my father was abusive, or whatever it might be. And say, but you know what, God's grace has healed me. And what God has done for me, he can do for you as well. We need that. So I encourage you, men, become intentional about seeking out relationships with healthy men. Because there tends to be, you know that old saying about water seeks its own level? When we are broken, we tend to seek out broken people. But you're never going to find healing with another broken person. You know, what happens even in marriages is that if somebody starts looking for a mate out of their brokenness, and often they will because their brokenness makes them crave a relationship, but then they can't hold a relationship because of their brokenness. But the problem is this: when you're broken, you attract broken people. If you're broken, if you're a broken woman, you're not going to attract a healthy, godly man. You're going to attract a broken man as well. You see? And the same thing in friendships. In our brokenness, we tend to seek out broken friendships because there's no challenge to grow. There is no threat. But men, if you want to grow, you need to seek out relationships with healthy, godly men who will be able to speak into your life, influence your life, minister grace and healing to your life. And so I encourage you to become intentional about seeking out godly men within the body of Christ who can help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. If you don't already have that kind of relationship, begin attending the men's ministry and begin praying and identifying men that you may be able to connect with. And men, if you're a godly man, open yourself up. Do not be isolated. Do not be isolated. Open yourself up. Somebody needs you in their life. And so go to the men's ministry. Join a small group with other men. Go to the men's prayer meeting. Start to develop friendships with other men, healthy, godly men who are seeking the Lord. They're not perfect men. There's no perfect people in the world. But men who are seeking the Lord, men who are growing, men who are allowing God to heal them so that they can become an instrument of God's healing in your life. Those are just two basic steps, two basic steps towards healing. But what I want you to know is that God wants to heal you, and God wants to set you free from the things that have been hindering you from being the man that you want to be and that God has called you to be. The husband, the father, the influencer that God has intended for you to be. But you can't change what you don't admit. So the journey to healing starts with admitting and saying, Lord, I have a father wound. And it has affected me. I see that it's affecting me. And I need your healing. I need your healing. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, in your grace, you are here today as the healer of the wounded heart and the restorer of our soul. Lord God, there are so many in our midst, men and women, who have father wounds. And they may not have realized why certain things have taken place in their life or behaviors, things they struggled with. But this morning, your Spirit is tugging at their heart, saying, this is the reason. This is the reason. And Lord, I pray that they would come to you. Our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, who will never fail us, never disappoint us, never hurt us. And I pray that we would allow you to father us this morning. Allow you to heal us this morning. Lord, have your way. Have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name. I want to do the altar call just a little bit differently this morning. I want to ask all men, even young men in our midst, if you would come to the altar this morning. I want you to find one other man, and I want you to pray with him that God would heal any father wounds that might be in his soul. And ladies, I want you to stretch your hands in this direction. And I want you just begin to intercede. If you're filled with the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit for healing in the souls of each of these men that are here today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, reach deep down into the souls of these your sons. By the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, I pray that you would wash each soul from the wounds of their past, O God. Wash their soul of those father wounds. Every injury, every hurtful word that was spoken, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your sons would sense your love for them this morning. That they would sense your affirmation. That they would sense how very important they are to you this morning, oh God. That you would wrap your arms of love around them, oh God. That you would make yourself so very real to them this morning, oh God. Father, I pray that you would bind up the wounds of their soul this morning, oh God. And that your grace would flow through their hearts, oh God. And minister healing to them. Free them this morning, oh God. Free them this morning, oh God. Free that one who had an alcoholic father that was abusive towards him, oh God. Break those chains right now in the name of Jesus. Free that one right now, Lord God, that struggles with a sense of rejection and unworthiness because he feels as though his father never wanted him. Free that one right now, oh God. Who was made to feel like nothing. Who was made to feel like nothing by the words that were spoken to him, oh God. In the name of Jesus, break those chains, oh Lord. Minister healing, oh God. Minister healing, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, strip away the wounds. Strip away the wounds, oh God, of their soul. In Jesus' name.